Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Let's go. So Nick Saban will not be the next head coach at LSU.
Nick Saban and I have a standing conversation probably every 2 to 3 weeks. We're good friends, first of all, and a person that I admire a lot. And Coach Saban was joking. No way he's coming back to football, okay? And Miss Terry's not going to let him. So okay. That's not going to happen. Let's get that out the way soon. Because if he was and he was interested, I'll go drive down there and pick him up right now and bring him back.
Okay, wait. So wait, Virge, you're saying – no shot.
I think that has run its course. Okay.
Okay.
But you know, he's works for ESPN now, and he does consulting with people and talk to people. He gets to see things out there, and he gets to tell you about different coaches he sees and observes. So I ask him questions about what it takes to coach the LSU job, and I always ask him that. And times have changed since the time he's been here. He didn't have all the different things that we have now. That's why he kept saying about the infrastructure, what we have here, what we have set up here. You don't win just because you're LSU. You have to win because you're doing the right things and the right things in place, the right mechanisms, the right infrastructure. I keep hitting on those words because that's what's important, the right people.
So you can hear the full interview on 104.5 ESPN. I give Moscona a lot of credit. He gave a great interview to Jeff Landry last week, and then he gets an interview here with Virge Ausberry. So Nick Saban will not be the next head coach at LSU. So why do I bring this up? Well, earlier today, Shaquille O'Neal had an interesting comment, and everyone wrote about it, that he heard from little birdies that Nick Saban would be potentially the next coach, or that there was interest. But you know, that kind of fed fuel to the fire, and then there was also national personalities like Clay Travis putting out there, hey, I would give $20 million to Nick Saban. Well, you heard from the one person that would know more than anyone else on the planet, Virge Ausberry. He confirms that Nick Saban will not be the next head coach at LSU. So the funny thing about the Shaquille O'Neal thing is that news story about Shaq sounded like an AI article, like all the different AI stories that you see on Facebook that your grandparents always share that are totally false. You know the ones I'm talking about. Joe Burrow donates $50 million to relief fund, that kind of stuff. It sounds like one of those articles, but the truth is, it probably was never happening. Now, I will say, though, and this is why the interview was good, because Moscona asked an interesting follow-up. Virge talks to Nick pretty often. He said once every 2 or 3 weeks, which is pretty cool. That's somebody I would want making the next coaching decision. And I am fine with Virge Ausberry doing that very thing. Something else that was mentioned in the interview, and this is something that does go way over my head, the presidential search. So the big story from today, outside of Virge saying that, of course, is LSU did hire a new president, and they're actually going to go about it differently, as it'll be Wade Roos from McNeese and then Jim Dalton from Alabama as the new heads of LSU. So, look, this is not my specialty. It's not. I am a football analyst, and I like breaking things down around the game of football. We've talked a little bit about the McNeese power structure and the Will Wade story last week, but the truth here is I need an actual reporter on here, someone that knows those very little details that went into this presidential search, because it is important. So Piper Hutchinson will join us a little bit later. She actually is a journalist. I'm a guy with a journalism degree that does not do journalism. So she'll join us, and she'll tell us everything we need to know at 6:30 about this search and if LSU made the right decision. Okay. Now, you know, for me, as we go through this cycle, this coaching search, it is interesting that Verge brought up how different it is now to do this when NIL and all those different things are out there. Friend of the channel, Peter Burns, who I love, I adore Peter Burns. He is the biggest LSU fan I know in national media, especially the ones that do not actually, that didn't actually play at LSU. I know Peter fairly well. And, you know, he brought up how good the Auburn job is. And if there was a choice, for me at least, I would guess John Summerall, who is an Alabama native, would pick Auburn over LSU. Or would he pick LSU over Auburn? You know, I've always heard that Arkansas was very interested in someone like John Summerall. There's an opening there. So what's interesting about this coaching search is that there's quite a few names out there that do have some leverage, right? Obviously, Lane Kiffin has probably more leverage than any coach I could ever think of in college football history when it comes to job openings. I am pretty sure Lane Kiffin is probably a top three candidate for Florida, probably a top three candidate for LSU. I would guess Penn State would want him after Lane Kiffin beat them down in a bowl game a few years ago. There are a lot of openings where, you know, they've probably kicked the tires on Lane Kiffin, and it's probably true also for John Summerall. There's quite a few P4 teams out there that would want him to be the next head coach. And then obviously, Kenny Dillingham's name is being floated around. Could that be something? You know, the good thing about Kenny is there is pretty much no shot that Arizona State makes it to the college football playoff this season. Okay? So we will talk about all those different hires. Now, the funny thing about all the coaching search stuff is that we will not know a gazillion percent who the next head coach will be probably for quite some time. And the reason I say that is because, well, we just got the alignment set in place. It was confirmed also in that interview from Verge that the new president, President Roos, will be, and hopefully I'm saying his last name correctly. I think that's how Verge said it in the interview. I was actually pronouncing it different. I think a lot of us that love our supermarkets or it has said Rouse's a few times. I could go for a good Rouse's king cake right now. But he is going to be on the search committee as well. So it's very, very, very interesting when you look at it like that. Now, the next thing, I am of the belief that the LSU job is still the best job of these jobs that are available. You know, LSU was open a few years ago when the Billy Napier thing happened. LSU and Alabama. I say LSU and Alabama. LSU and Florida were both open at that time. And look, a lot of us weren't on fire about Brian Kelly. I would say probably 75-80% of my viewers were really pumped up that Brian Kelly was the next head coach at LSU. But there was quite a few of you, particularly our Lafayette viewers, that wanted Mr. Billy Napier to be the next head coach. And I do think Brian Kelly was better than Billy Napier was at Florida. I would also say that's probably a little bit closer than one would say it was. And I could get into a few different reasons as to why. So it's important to understand that, yes, the Group of Five experiment probably would have failed with Billy Napier here as well. But we don't know that. We really don't know that at all. And, you know, I'm not as big on John Summerall as a few others are as far as taking this next job at LSU. But I'm also not opposed to it. I'm not opposed to going the Group of Five route at all. And I am, I think for me, I want someone that does have P4 experience. And Verge said, look, it's not that important for that. They would prefer head coaching experience, but it's not something that is a necessity. I do think there are quite a few coordinators out there that would make a lot of sense. So I'm going to save my thoughts, deeper thoughts on Joe Brady tomorrow. That was actually what the video is going to be. But this Verge interview happened, and I wanted to put to bed the Nick Saban rumors, because I wasn't going to do the Nick Saban Shaq angle unless...
It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Something broke. And today it did break that Nick Saban will not be next head coach at LSU. Something else that also happened as far as Nick Saban being the next head coach at LSU was the birthday video. So Nick Saban celebrated a birthday, and his daughter Instagrammed a video of them surprising him with a birthday cake when he was on a recliner with a blanket over himself watching a game. He wasn't a spry chicken getting out of the chair for his birthday. He seems content in retirement. So, you know, that was something else that just made me go, he really doesn't want to do this. He is loving the media thing. He is incredible on College Game Day. So there you go. Now, let's see here. Okay, so this breaks like right when we go live, and here you go. Big thanks to Dex here. This had been in the works. Verge is your new athletic director, permanent. So, look. This is an LSU guy through and through. And he is an LSU guy way more than, obviously, Scott Woodward was an LSU guy. And look, some birdies were chirping a little bit earlier involving this. I do find it interesting that he had this interview and then this gets announced. So Verge Ausberry is your new athletic director at LSU. So here's the big thing you need to know about Verge is that he's been at LSU for so long. And I think a lot of you are introduced to him for the first time this last week. You know, a lot of these assistants to the main guy are guys that if you follow LSU and you're a boots on the ground in Baton Rouge, you know who they are. But a majority of people don't. So I would say probably half of you learned of who Verge Ausberry was last week. And that's fine. You know, that's not me insulting your LSU intelligence, but he has always been the associate AD. He does a lot with LSU football, including scheduling. This is one of the most well-connected people at LSU, as shown earlier when we played the clip of Nick Saban getting doing the interview with him where he says he talks to Nick Saban frequently. Verge connects the past from LSU football to where we are now. And, you know, I think for me, I'm fine with him leading the search. This is a football guy. This is a guy who has played at LSU before. And on top of that, you know, I do think one minor thing will change is that Verge, and most athletic directors are like this, but he will mostly focus in on football, and then he will have some very strong associates that help him with all the other sports. Or if that weren't to happen, and let's just say he was more involved with all these other sports, I would prefer him mostly just focus on football and then have many associates help him out with all these other sports. Now, we'll say, there were some interesting names out there that would be considered for the LSU athletic director job, but Verge is your permanent athletic director. Okay? Let's go to Jace Max. He wants to talk about the Bama game. Let's go to Moan My Age. Do we know for sure if Woodward was fired or asked out? Thought that would come out after Roos. Yeah, I mean, it's tough because you get into why would Scott Woodward, with a pretty sizable buyout attached to his name, why would he leave? Why would he leave if he had money coming down the pipeline? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if there was a reduced buyout or if he was going somewhere else. I don't know. You see, what one thing that happened before the show is I was wearing this green shirt, and it was messing with the green screen. So I got to zip this thing all the way up, or I might change soon. You might see me shirtless on here, and then the views go way up. Okay? But yeah, that news broke right when I went live. Let's see if... anything else? All right. So this will be his hire. Let's go to Ghastly Gamer. He said, you mean like Stephanie Rimpey, who is currently the athletic director at Nevada, who did the Jay Johnson search? You know, you can get into who deserves the credit for actually finding Jay Johnson. I do give friend of the channel, John Eads, a lot of credit for actually chasing down Jay Johnson and interviewing him in Biloxi about Scott Woodward moving on. And Jay Johnson said, I will always be grateful for him getting his shot at LSU, but he says he has to move on as well. Okay? Boris says, here's five to keep your shirt on. Okay? So now, I do not want to get into, I don't mind getting into all the legal stuff that happened with Verge when it comes to the Title IX stuff that happened in the past decade. Now, I've always shared. I've interviewed Verge Osberry twice. I've talked to him many a times back when I was still a student and young in the media game, fresh out of college. I've not talked to him since all of that transpired. And I'm also not as well versed on all of those things that transpired, lawsuits and all of that. That's something that comes along with it when you hire someone for the most important job in your athletic department. Actually, your football coach is the most important job in your athletic department, but in essence, this is the most important job. Okay, so, you know, for me, you know, he doesn't have any top athletic director experience, but it is a little bit different when he's been there in for 20-plus years, and in both interview settings that we have seen him in, he has said things are changing. He has admitted that, yes, LSU is still LSU, but SHIT is different now. There is a lot of things that are moving. Okay? So, look. Once again, I'm not as well versed on that, but I'm sure LSU did their due diligence before giving Verge this very prestigious title. Okay? Now, I want to talk a little bit about the Alabama game. Obviously, on Thursday, you'll have your full scouting report. On the SEC channel, I've done a lot of SEC breakdowns on Ty Simpson. And Alabama fans have been blowing me up. And to that, if you're an Alabama fan that watches Power Hour SEC, buck you. I don't like it. I'm kidding. Truth be told, though, I do appreciate Alabama fans watching my stuff. I do. But this week, I got to hate you. It's Bama hate week. It is Buck Fama. And to that fan, that fateful day over a decade ago, who claimed that an LSU fan stuck a finger in his booty, to that fan, I hope you found the culprit. I do. I really, really, really do. I really do. And we take those types of situations very seriously. But it's Bama Hate Week. And I hope it never happened to you again. But I hope you suffer a loss this week. That video has always gotten me in tears laughing. That was crazy. Him claiming that an LSU fan stuck a finger in his booty. Crazy. Cliff just joining us, probably trying to figure out, wait, what's going on? Larry says, my finger stunk for a week after that. No one's ever followed up on that guy, though. He obviously wasn't all there, if we're going to be honest. But it's still crazy. Now, here's what I'll say about Ty Simpson. This will be the best Alabama quarterback we faced in the Saban era to now. That's how good he's been, okay? I do think this first year of Ty Simpson was better than the first full year of Tua. I really do think so. I think Tua's offensive linemen were better. I think quite a few things. I think Tua's running back room was better. I think Tua's coaching was better, even though, you know, Ryan Grubb's a beast. And, you know, there's a few other quarterbacks you could point to. Obviously, Jalen Hurts is a better pro. And then Mac Jones with the way that he's playing right now. Mac Jones is still the highest ESPN QBR quarterback of this era. So, you know, for me, Ty Simpson does a lot of things like Joe Burrow. There is a lot of things he does well. He just is not to that level of consistency. He's not as explosive of a runner. Joe was more accurate, way more consistent. Ty's accuracy in the South Carolina game, he left a lot of yards on the field. Missed a dig to Jeremy Bernard that would have been a massive gainer in a close game. But you do see some of the things when you watch him. There have been some kind of, like, what the hell was that kind of stat line? 17 for 17 in a game. I don't care, it was ULM. He went 17 for 17. Alabama's wide receiver room is really good. It's the best in the SEC. And the crazy thing about that is Ryan Williams hasn't really been that great. Just Jeremy Bernard is a really good football player. Isaiah Horton's a really good player for them. 17, a young player for them has been really good. Their tight end room is good. Quavis is is very solid, and that Alabama offensive line is very good. You know, to me, Ty Simpson, though, has done a lot of different things, from changing protections to putting balls in really tight windows. One thing he's been really elite at is when he's backed up into his own end zone, he has been so good. I mean, that was some of the craziest stuff I saw versus Tennessee. So this quarterback for Alabama is that good. It didn't seem like that in week one versus Florida State, but damn it, dude, he's good. And he is the best quarterback we will face on our schedule. Now, there are some positives going up against Ty Simpson. We have gotten 2 full weeks to study him. Keep in mind, we did not make any defensive coaching changes over the past couple of weeks. None. So that side of the football's been fine. And they have gotten 2 weeks of film to really look at this guy and figure out what we can do to stop him. We will also have Whit Weeks back, and Whit is probably the best linebacker Ty Simpson has played all this season. Now, you look at Alabama's running back room. Jam Miller's a good player. Number 4, Daniel Hill, has been really solid for them. So this is a really good offense. And they go to the defensive side of the football. Alabama. Deontay Lawson, number 0. Number 10. Check this name out. Justin Jefferson. Fantastic players. 42 is a young man's name who I forgot. Just dominated Tennessee. And that is a guy that's probably going to eat her a lunch. He is arguably the best bull rushing end in the SEC. He can pile drive you all the way back to Bro Bridge. I mean, he is that good. Secondary's fine. Hubbard's number 18 is the big turnover maker. But they are beatable. Their secondary is very beatable. But our offensive tackles on the road in Tuscaloosa, with the very banged up room that we have with Kerry's current situation, Tyree Adams being out, this could get ugly for us. So what would I do to combat that? Well, the first thing would be, with our offensive line, I would seriously consider playing Donovan Green more. And part of that isn't, and I know we've been really high on Donovan Green, and he's been mostly fine in the limited action. Yes, he did have that huge false start penalty versus Vanderbilt. Should never happen. Give Vanderbilt credit. They stemmed and he got spooked and all of that. But, you know, I cannot stress enough that, yes, it is true that Weston Davis is stunk. He has stunk up the joint. And it is true that our left tackle position is in dire straits right now. But one thing that has really hurt LSU is that Bower Sharp has been a disaster. And what have I always said? This is, if you are new to this channel, we've gotten a lot of new subscribers. I really do appreciate that. With the coaching search, that's what normally happens. But this is the single most important thing. And I want you to take this next message to your heart if you're new, because we have to get to our guests. The worst thing in life is not being bad. Because if you're bad, at least I know you're bad. Everybody knows you're bad. What can really hamstring you is when you think something is good, but they really are bad. That will always hurt you. You might think you have that good friend in your life that you can call and rely on to come help you fix a blown out tire. They don't pick up the phone. They don't check on you. But if you had that fan, that friend who you knew wasn't going to show up in the first place, and you never call them, guess what? You saved their time. You saved your time. The problem is LSU was really high on Bower Sharp. They weren't the only ones. I thought Bower Sharp was going to be good. But I did say he got ragdolled a lot at Oklahoma, got thrown around. It was a problem. So I would like LSU to have a traditional tight end, see what Donovan Green could do you in that role. And then from there, you can see what you have with Donovan Green as a permanent tight end. Okay? Now, we need a good, warm PHL welcome to an actual journalist. Someone who knows what an FOIA is. It is Piper Hutchinson joins us. Piper, good to see you. Welcome to PHL. We have never met once before, but I first want to say thank you for providing clarity on this LSU presidential search.
Well, thank you so much for that, and thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So the first thing, what all does the LSU president actually do?
Well, they actually changed that a bit today. So in addition to announcing that there's going to be a president and a chancellor, they've announced kind of a reorganization of the system. So since 2012, we've just had a president who's also served as the Baton Rouge campus chancellor. And before that, we had somebody who oversaw the system, the president, and then somebody who focused on the Baton Rouge campus, the chancellor, which is sort of what we're gonna have in the future. We're gonna have Wade Roos as president and Jim Dalton as chancellor. But things are gonna kind of get swished around from the last time this happened. So athletics is gonna report directly to Wade Roos, the system president, which is a little bit unusual, and several other institutions in the LSU system that do a lot of research. So we're thinking about Pennington and the medical schools in Shreveport and New Orleans are actually gonna report to Dalton as the Baton Rouge campus chancellor. So it's kind of looking a little different than it used to.
Why do you think they did that?
So LSU has this goal to join this organization called the Association of American Universities, which is a group of the top research institutions in the United States. And to do that, LSU needs to increase its research expenditures by like double. So basically, this is kind of a way to bring in the research spending of these other institutions into the main campus's ranking, and it bumps it up by quite a lot. I think a couple $100 million. They're still going to need to do more spending on research, but that's it's kind of like the first step.
When it came down to this search, there were three finalists. Can you tell us more about the other two finalists, and if you think potentially LSU could have actually gone in that direction? Because it was, you know, out there that it looked as if it was going to be Roos from McNeese. So who were the other two finalists?
So Dalton, the guy that was named Chancellor, he was one of the finalists. The other finalist was a guy named Robert Robbins, who used to be the president at the University of Arizona. He came really highly recommended, including a letter of recommendation from Mark Emmert. And, you know, I think a lot of people liked him. Something interesting that happened today is that Roos and Dalton said they started talking last Friday about their plans to pitch, kind of splitting the roles to the Board of Supervisors. And they've been working on this plan all through the weekend and through yesterday. So it seemed like they kind of had a plan in place to maybe cut Robbins out.
That is so interesting. So were you shocked that this happened today, or is this something that you thought could potentially happen?
So we've been hearing for almost a year that they were talking about splitting the president and the chancellor roles, but LSU board chairman Scott Ballard was always kind of against it, and he spoke against it as recently as last Wednesday. So I was a little bit surprised that they were going to take this action. But we started hearing yesterday that there was more of a possibility that this was going to happen, and if it did happen, that it was probably going to be Dalton.
Why would Scott Ballard be against that? What are the cons of LSU doing this? I'm just so curious, because this is way over my head.
Well, Ballard was on the board when they made the decision to combine the positions, so I think he has that kind of background. There are, you know, some downsides of splitting the positions, like that means that's a whole new top administrator salary that you have to fund, and that means money not going towards faculty and research. You know, there are also like the possibility of creating some friction between those two people, because, you know, the person who leads the Baton Rouge campus typically has some political sway of their own. So if you ever get crosswise with the president, you know, it's a difficult position to be in. So creating just one position kind of streamlines that.
What was Jeff Landry's role in all of this?
The governor appointed all of the board members, or a vast majority of the board members that made the final decision. And as we know from other reporting, there was a meeting at the governor's mansion over the weekend to discuss Scott Woodward and Brian Kelly. I have to imagine that this presidential search was also discussed. The guy who got hired as president, Wade Roos, he was publicly endorsed very early on by Lee Mallett, the vice chairman of the board, who is a mega donor to Governor Landry and is very close with him. So we know that he had a powerful Landry ally advocating for him.
Here's John Sibley Butler, who's known quite a few different presidents and chancellors. He says it was a great idea to go back to the chancellor's role. Position should never have been combined. Research money is brought in by the faculty to LSU. Is that true?
Yeah. So research money comes from federal grants, and okay, that's a competitive process that faculty play an active role in. And a lot of the faculty were worried that Roos didn't really have the research experience necessary to support their research mission, but Dalton definitely does. And I think a lot of the faculty feel more at ease having him in the chancellor position and doing oversight of the other research campuses, because he knows how the game is played.
That is very interesting. So now it's starting to make sense, their logic behind it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Once again, Piper Hutchinson is our guest. You know, when you dive deep into researching a story, you obviously have to pull out some interesting nuggets that aren't actually being brought up. As far, because you know, most people when they retweet you and all that stuff, they're just looking at the news. Okay, I want Piper, who has dug through many of FOIAs and reports and papers and all of that. What stuck out to Piper about this whole process that you found to be very interesting that no one is mentioning?
I think that there was a lack of transparency in this process. Lack of transparency is relative. In Louisiana, we have laws that require this to be a semi-public process that don't exist in other states. But in here, we do have those laws. And I think that LSU tried to skirt them in some ways, like having their members of the search committee sign non-disclosure agreements so that they couldn't discuss the committee's deliberations. And they didn't make any sorts of announcements to campus about who the finalists were or when they would be visiting campus. And that kind of cut back on the amount of faculty, student, and staff input that could really be had in this process. And I think that's not an ideal way to run a search.
That is so interesting to me. So Piper Hutchinson's our guest. How much sway does a president normally have in athletics?
Well, the athletic director reports to the president. The president is their boss. Yeah. Some presidents haven't always fully utilized that leverage. They've kind of let athletics do what they're going to do as long as they're making money. But I see presidents in, you know, at other universities kind of laying down the law. And you can imagine that maybe that's something that Wade Roos might want to do. He's been talking about, you know, strong leadership this, strong leadership that. He might have more of an impact on athletics.
For you, Piper, I think a big discussion as far as buyouts and all of that are concerned, because I know that's not specifically what you cover, but what are your thoughts and what are people's thoughts on athletics and spending? Because there's always the library is dilapidated, why are we putting the money towards that? What do the people you talk to have to say about that?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this, because I think that there's a lot of misconceptions about athletic funding. you know, as we know, the athletic department is more or less entirely funded by self-generated revenue. But people get the idea that that means that it's private money. But self-generated revenue is just a term in the state budget that means that it is developed in some way by the agency. And every agency has some form of self-generated revenue. And universities as a whole are two-thirds funded by self-generated revenue. So, you know, when people start criticizing people for criticizing, you know, these big buyouts or other athletic expenditures by saying, oh, it's self-generated revenue, well, that's public money that we're talking about. And I think the public has a right to be concerned about how universities spend public money. And that is absolutely something that's being discussed by the Board of Supervisors and people in political circles. LSU is kind of unique in that it is actually making some money. Other universities in Louisiana obviously are not. And because of that, the Louisiana legislature passed a law last year that allows tax dollars to go to Division I athletic programs in Louisiana. So starting next year, LSU is going to be receiving about $2 million in tax money annually, which is going to be kind of different because historically LSU athletics didn't receive much, if any.
Yeah.
Tax revenue in any given year.
How do you feel about tax money going towards athletics?
Well, I certainly see the argument for some of the smaller schools because they're, you know, deeply in debt, and those athletic departments have, you know, an impact to the culture of the university, which impacts recruitment to those schools. I think that maybe the $2 million that's supposed to go to LSU could maybe be divided to the other D1 programs, and LSU really wouldn't be that hurt by it. I say that as an LSU fan, for the record.
Yeah. I was looking at your stories here. I want everyone to go read her work. I want you to get something out of this appearance because, you know, I just learned of you last week, and I read a decent amount of these stories, and I found this interesting, some of your coverage of how everything went down last week with LSU's old athletic director. What were your thoughts on how Scott Woodward departed, and do you think he did a fine job as the LSU athletics director?
Well, I had heard for months that Woodward was kind of on the edge of getting pushed out, so I wasn't totally surprised that this happened so quickly after Brian Kelly's departure. I think the extent that the governor was publicly involved in this decision was a little bit of a surprise. I figured he would be involved to some extent, but, you know, to do like all these media appearances, I think that was really interesting. I think that Woodward deserves some credit for, you know, the championships that have been won under his tenure. But as, you know, many people have noted, you know, he was responsible for this very large Brian Kelly contract, and that does have an impact on the finances of the university.
So you went to LSU?
I did.
All right. And what year did you graduate?
2022.
Okay. So you're a big LSU fan. So Piper, I want you to take journalism hat off. This is your opportunity. You're with a bunch of rabid LSU fans. We don't normally do journalism-y kind of stuff. And we were big fans of William Tate and how much he loved sports. But I want you to be LSU fan, Piper. How do you feel about the direction of the Tigers football program?
I'm not loving it. You know, I'm not having a great time this season. I was very skeptical at the start of the season. I thought we were going to be terrible. I thought we were going to lose to Clemson. And then we won. And then I was like, oh, maybe we have some aura here. Like, maybe we're going somewhere. And I have been really disappointed by the team's performance. I have really been disappointed by the regression that we've seen in Nussmeier's performance. I would really like to see a turnaround here because I have more fun when there are more people in the stadium and when we're winning games and going to the playoffs. That's what I want. That's what everybody wants. I'm all on board for that. I hope, you know, whoever the next coach is can make that happen.
Yeah. Are you a dog or a cat person?
Dog person.
How many dogs you have?
I don't have any dogs right now. I had a little Cavalier who died a couple years ago, and I haven't had the heart to get another one.
Oh, okay. Well, here's what we're going to do. since we brought this up, and this is true. I DJ'd a wedding this past weekend, and they had a little dog matching the suit of the groom. So our dog passed away a few years ago. We had these bands, and it's a Boog band. It's got a Power Hour LSU on there. I'm gonna send one to you. Is that okay with you?
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank
you. Yeah. Well, we want you to feel welcome here, Piper. And here's the thing. You know nothing about me, which is awesome. I have a journalism degree, and I am not objective journalist like you are, okay? And when I did research on you and I saw those four letters, I'll bring them up again, FOIA, all right, Freedom of Information Act. I'm a journalism nerd, and the fact that you actually like to do that and the arduous-ass process for you to have to go through all of that, so I want you to give me your honest thoughts on the state of the journalism industry now. This is your opportunity to unload. It could be sports journalism. It could be news journalism. Because, look, people all the time use those two dreaded words that I know you're tired of hearing about. Fake news. While you're actually out there trying to, you know, do your own factual research and all of that. So this is Piper's chance to talk about journalism. So let's hear it.
Well, I think that there are a lot of journalists doing really incredible, hard-hitting work. And I think that I actually have some optimism in the way that the industry is going. I work at a nonprofit news outlet, which means we're not subject to, you know, some of the profit incentives or the financial burdens of a for-profit news outlet. And I think that there's a lot of room for growth in that sector. I believe in journalism as a public service, so I really love our nonprofit mission. Would love to see some expansion there. In Louisiana, we're doing really great. We have a great locally owned newspaper in The Advocate that itself is expanding and growing and doing incredible work. You know, I think things are pretty good for the most part. I know there are some threats to us from, you know, people who do say fake news, you know, people in the federal government who might want to curb what we're doing. Yeah. But I think as long as journalists just continue doing the good work and trying to make connections with their audience, I think that we can ultimately overcome this like fake news perception. Personally, what I do is I reply to every single hate email that I get sent, and I send them like a very honest reaction to the things that they send me. Wow. And I try to like have an open conversation with them. And, you know, most of the time I don't get a response, but I do think that it takes little things like that to try to connect with the public.
Wow. Wait, every single one?
Yeah. So if somebody says something mean on Twitter, you know, just in my Twitter comments, I don't respond. But if they take time to write an email or a DM or something, I'm like, you know what? I'll take the time to respond to you too.
That is interesting. And I can imagine, I say this with a grin, but I also say this with a serious tone. I'm sure not all of them are lovely. I'm sure there was some nasty ones. So for you to swallow your pride and reach across the aisle to the hater, if you will, that's pretty impressive, Piper. I give you a lot of credit for that.
Well, I try my best.
Piper, we really do appreciate you, and I'm glad you shared that anecdote about you know, Roos and Robbins and all that, because I saw he made the comment about Jay Johnson being also from Arizona and all of it. I thought that was funny, and yeah, we hope to have you on again soon. You know, for me, Piper, I really felt that thing you said about we just want to win. That's all we want to do. That's it. Piper just wants to be in Tiger Stadium with it packed, everyone having a good time. So, final thing. Does LSU beat Alabama this weekend?
No. No, I don't think so.
Piper, come on. Come on. Yeah, we need you said the optimism word a minute ago.
I have optimism about the future of journalism. I do not have optimism about the rest of this football season. That being said, I will be watching every game. I will be at every home game for the rest of the season because I'm a diehard.
Diehard. Well, Cliff, one of our diehard viewers, said we appreciate you, Piper. We also had someone in there earlier, American Patriot. Big Dog also showing you some love. American Patriot said he loves the name Piper. There you go. Well, awesome stuff. So it's very important. I was able to see that your organization, the Louisiana Illuminator, is a nonprofit. So, you know, the best thing you could do is just go read their articles, right? That's what's great about it. Piper tries to be straight and fair down the middle. So make sure you check her out. And Piper, thank you for all your expertise on this.
Thank you. And I'll just add, we don't have any paywalls or ads or anything. So anybody can come read our stuff anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. We'll talk soon, Piper.
Yes.
I know, Tari. It hurt my heart, too. I thought since she was, because, you know, you guys know I'm going to pick Alabama. You guys are about to pick Alabama. We're not a good football team right now. But I thought when she said she's a super diehard fan, because that I could tell by reading some of the articles. So, like, it's different what she does than compared to, like, a few other, like, newspaper reporters that are actually, like, LSU beat reporters. It's different because she's reporting, like, actual news stuff. Not that the beat reporters don't, but it is a different thing. Right. So for her to say that she actually is a really big LSU football fan, you could see it. She wants the team to do well. I thought she was going to pick LSU. I thought so. Now, I do have one more thing I want to get to before we get to a few more of your comments. But
Power
first,
Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LaBoardTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LaBoardTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LaBoardTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region.
PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. This is my buddy, Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
The Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important, but what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you. It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37% if you are in South Louisiana? Just call the number 504-444-7563. That's 504-444-7563. Or visit FortifiedGulf.com. That's FortifiedGulf.com. Let's go. All righty. There you go. A lot of fans of Piper in here. I'm never going to give you all a bad guess, and that continued tonight. I'm always nervous of that, though, because that was the least vetted guest I've ever had on here. I'm serious, because I just learned about her last week. But that's the cool thing, is that you learn new things about new people all the time, and she crushed it. Okay? Now, you know, one thing I wanted to really hammer home is that a lot of what has happened over this past week has been in the eyes of Governor Landry. Okay, so it wasn't really a secret, and that's what Piper shared, that Governor Landry really wanted Athletic Director Roos to be the guy. Okay, and you know, I think the Jim Dalton decision, I watched the briefing. I have friends that were involved in this. And look, I truly do think that the Dalton thing will help Roos be more involved in athletics. President Tate was very involved with athletics. His wife was very involved in LSU athletics. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But it is now clear that LSU has what they need to move forward. One thing I would hope that would happen, and this is going to be something that you, whoever you are watching this right now, will hope that happens, is that Governor Landry and what happened last week fades in our memories. Because number one, it's going to. We always move on to the next thing. But the truth is, what happened last week when we were all crying doom and gloom, that could fall by the wayside if this alignment and this current iteration of the brain trust of LSU athletics handles their job and the governor doesn't do anything like last week. And that's no disrespect to Governor Landry. It's just those types of things can really turn off coaching searches. But now, if you're LSU, let's just say that they were theoretically interviewing a coach and a candidate, and they said, well, we saw what happened. I don't want, you know, people that don't do anything in football to be in my lap trying to tell me what I need to do and not do. Well, number one, one thing I will say about Governor Landry is that he did say, I don't want to hire the next football coach. He said that in almost every interview. So you can sell that to a candidate. And then number two, what you could say to that coaching candidate is, hey, we weren't aligned. We didn't know. We did not know. We didn't know who our president was. Now we know our direction. We know who our AD is. We know who our president is. We know who the search committee is. Okay? I will tell you that there is a lot of juice right now with Virg Ausberry being the guy. Okay? Now, Chef EJ, what's good? He joined the YouTube membership. What are you going to cook me, man? All right. I always want to give you one big winner under all of this. All right, I want to give you the one sports take that is unique to me or one that you might not have thought about just yet. And, you know, there is whispers that Verge was going to be the guy a little bit earlier today. You saw a few other media members tweet out some cryptic things. The big winner today is Frank Wilson. All right. I do think Verge being the permanent guy helps Frank Wilson. I also think Frank Wilson being a more affordable option helps Frank Wilson. I also think what helps Frank Wilson potentially being the next guy is that this coaching search is just so simplified if he's just the guy next year, because you don't have to hire and fire as many coaches. That's more money that can go in the NIL. And one thing that's also working in Frank's favor in a major way is that all these other jobs are open. All these jobs are open. It's one of those things where, what if Lane Kiffin was in a position that LSU and Florida were seriously interviewing him and he was seriously talking to both of these schools? I'll keep my mouth shut on that. And then at the last second, he picks Florida. Well, guess what happened a few years ago? Lane was in that same spot. He was in that same exact spot. Lane Kiffin and Jimmy Sexton are really close. It's a little bit closer than the normal Sexton to head coach relationship. And they played Arkansas like a fiddle. Played them. And as many of you know, I'm pretty well connected with the University of Arkansas. And there are some at Arkansas that actually thought Lane was going to go there. And he picked Ole Miss. And guess what Arkansas did? They hired Sam Pittman, who's not an Arkansas guy, but that was his dream job, and he's going to live the rest of his life with Arkansas. With in the state of Arkansas. He's retired, and he's got a huge lake house in what would be equivalent to Alexandria, Louisiana, in a city in Arkansas near a lake, right? Actually, it would be probably Hot Springs is probably closer to Lake Charles in terms of comparisons, but that's not the point. It's that Frank, I think Frank's a serious candidate. I do. I really do. Now, obviously, it's going to come down to how these games go. But you want former players to get excited? Hire Frank Wilson. Okay? It's crazy to me. King MJ. Now, I will be the first to tell you, I'm not the most well-connected person that does this. I'm not. Never will claim to be. And nor do I want to be that either. I want to be the analysis guy. I want to be the film study guy. I want to be the live stream guy. That's why I have Piper on. She's an actual reporter. I have a journalism degree. I'm not a journalist. Okay? Now, does my journalism degree help me in certain aspects of this job? You betcha. Okay, you betcha. But Spectrum says he thinks Kiffin favors Florida. I don't know. Our guest last Tuesday, though, would tell you otherwise. I would highly recommend you go back and listen to last Tuesday's interview. It was from another former LSU student. But there you go. Let's go to Cliff. The other thing you have to consider is if LSU is serious about Kiffin, you're going to miss signing day in the portal window while he navigates the playoffs, which could seriously hurt you. Here's the thing that I want us to prepare for. All right. Brian Kelly really wasted, I think, the final glory years of what we consider LSU football to be in the eyes of the SEC, okay? There is a real, real, real chance that we do not field a good football team next year. And I really do mean that. We might not have a good team. And while this wouldn't necessarily be tanking, you don't ever really tank in college football. You do need to be prepared for a potential rebuilding year. All right. So obviously, if Kiffin comes and the portal window closing and there not being a spring window and all of that, Kiffin will coach some things up, get some things done, and get us going in the right direction. So. But you need, and that's something else that's helping Frank quite a bit with the portal window being the way that it is. But next year we have a 9-game conference schedule. And whether or not you think Clemson is going to be good, we know for one thing, they're probably not going to suck. They might, especially if Dabo says, look, I'm done with you guys. Next season could get tough. And I'm worried about that because people don't like the channel as much when we suck as much as many people think otherwise. Now, if a coaching search happens, any football YouTube channel is always going to be the best when a coaching search happens. But you do need to be ready for the possibility that LSU might not be good next year. The thing about Frank remaining the guy is that the floor goes up, right? Your roster retention and all those different things are going to go up if he retains the spot. I am perfectly fine, though, with waiting if you think you can get someone that you know will take your ass to the next level. And, of course, our guest last week, Cooper Patagna, did bring up the very real possibility that, let's say, Lane wants to go to a different job. He already announces that he's going to a new job. And while he's finishing out Ole Miss's playoff run, at the same time, he is getting ready for the new job, LSU's new roster, LSU's new coaching staff and all of it, which would be weird. There's probably some rules and regulations that he would need to, you know, skirt by to make that happen. We'll see. Ashdog LSU says, I hope the governor fades away. And I think he will. I do. And once again, I'm never going to put it past Governor Landry to put himself into the news again. But I do think now that he has his guys in place, he'll fade back a little bit. But Virg Ausberry is your permanent athletic director. You know, here's a weird thing about this from Slander Pop, and it's not a weird thing, but, you know, the thing that really irks me about the Brian Kelly only had 39 scholarship guys, you know, I have always poked holes into that being the single most overrated talking point about Brian Kelly, is that that high school recruiting class was so much better than all our other high school recruiting classes. And we signed only 12 or 13 high school kids. All right. So what's crazy is we never really built off of that. And we had a few extra transfers here and there, but a lot of it was Malik, BTJ, and Jaden. And smoke and mirrors from other spots. And for me, it's like, I mean, you can make some stuff work without needing to sign the number one portal class, if that makes sense, right? We had the number one portal class. Didn't make a lick of difference because none of our guys, outside of just a few, were developed to where they're having the primes of their careers right now. How many year three and year four high school recruits did LSU bring in? How many of those guys are in the prime of their career right now? They're playing the best college football of their career right now. And the answer is Whit Weeks, maybe Tyree Adams, and that's about it. I mean, that's about it. You know, Caden Durham is someone else who, you know, I've been very defensive of Caden and what he's had to deal with this year. But he's a year two guy. You know, there's just not many year three, year four guys. Just a lot of misses. And you know, it's one thing that sucks. Okay. Let's go to our newest member. You don't always have to overthink it. The right fit fits right, if you know what I mean. Now, don't forget, I'll be on with the great AYS Sports here in roughly 20 minutes. My closest friend in LSU Media, probably my closest friend I talk to more than anyone else. You know, I want people to check this out if you're a new member. I saw the most damaging study of what went wrong with this year's LSU's offense. And I spent a long time looking at these charts. It is now up for our patrons. So if you're a PHL Patreon member, you could see it. And if you're a PHL YouTube member, you could see it. I posted on both platforms. And what I really liked about this study that we did, and full disclosure, wasn't my research, okay? It was quite a few people's research. I was able to compare where the LSU offense has had struggles in comparison to the medians and averages of where all the other offenses have had struggles in different portions of the field. All right, my guy Rick Kay, who's been arguably our most loyal patron, said this was one of our better studies. So if you're a Patreon member, you're always going to get extra film studies. You're always going to get my game grade. You're always going to get all that extra mumbo jumbo. But to me, it's not mumbo jumbo. If you're a diehard LSU football fan, you're going to love it. Okay? We'll talk to you soon. Shout out to all our top super chatters. Boris, Deuce, and Cliff takes home the top spot. I really do appreciate you. And let's see. Just got an email from TikTok. We're going over to the talk, doing some lives on the talks. Let's go, man. They want me to go live from Tokyo. That's Japan. I don't think TikTok's in Japan. I think TikTok's in China. I would love to do a show from China. I've never been to China. I do want to go to Japan, though. The wedding I DJed last week for PHLer Dylan, who does not miss a stream. This was the highest honor I've ever gotten. So he asked me to DJ his wedding. I did. And I get there, and the groomsman, one of his groomsmen, walked up and said, "Hey," and this was the day of the wedding. He said, "Yeah, I was listening to your Frank Wilson stream earlier." And I was like, "Man, dude, I wouldn't listen to me if I was getting ready to get married." But Dylan's a day one, man. Dylan is a day one supporter. I would be listening to some Rick Ross, throwing some Dave Matthews, throwing some Earth, Wind, and Fire, throwing some Avicii. I would have a smorgasbord of music, but to hear some sports takes, that's pretty diehard. Tonight we are doing beef enchiladas. Let's go.